Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey everybody, you can be seated. Hey, welcome to Coastal Community Church. I'm Seth, I'm one of the pastors here. I want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Extra spiritual points for being here the Sunday after Easter Sunday. Just kidding, it doesn't mean anything because we're all forgiven and we all approach Jesus equally. And so no matter where you come from or how many times you've been here, God loves you the same as the addict on the street, the prostitute, no matter where you've come from. Jesus loves you. So I hope you feel that warmth this morning. I want to celebrate with you the Eucharist. If you don't have one of these little packets, my daughter will pass them out. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to you're part of the family. We invite you to partake with us. Some churches call this communion, other churches the Lord's Supper. We call it the Eucharist because Eucharist comes from the Greek word that means what, church? Eucharistia. It means thanksgiving. Very good. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 26 as we read about the Last Supper. But before we do, I want to just remind you of why we do this. We do this because that thanksgiving is something that should be in the forefront of our heads. So many things can, and then there's a hand over here too. So many things can kind of get us distracted from what God has done in our life, and we forget and we lose track of. And we kind of do our own thing. And so Jesus says, hey, do this often so that you don't forget, so that you can have thankfulness on the forefront of your thinking. So right now, just kind of in the quiet of your seat there, maybe there's some things you need to confess. Maybe there's some people you need to forgive. Maybe just pause a minute and let the craziness stop inside your head and remember that God is in charge of your life. Let's just pause for a minute here before we partake so we can be in the right thankful mindset. Now, as we get ready to partake, we're celebrating with the bread and with the cup, the bread symbolizing Christ's body was pierced for you, the cup celebrating, the juice celebrating Christ's blood that was poured out for you. And that was not too expensive for you. And it wasn't too expensive for Judas, who betrayed Jesus. And it wasn't too expensive for Peter, who cut off the ear of the soldier and couldn't keep his act together. And it wasn't too expensive for Thomas, who needed to feel the holes in Jesus' hand to believe him. Jesus sacrificed everything for you. And we celebrate that through this Eucharist. In Matthew 26:26, they're seated at the table. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and when he had given thanks, Lord, we're thankful for your body and your blood. For you being a sacrifice, canceling our sins, defeating death, not just for you, but for us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Let us do this in remembrance of Jesus. And in verse 27, it says, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us partake of this in remembrance of Christ's shed blood. Lord, we are thankful. Thank you. everybody. Yeah, you can be seated. I want to welcome you to week two of Death Defeated. And I don't know what areas of your life you need this in. I don't know, you know, we don't have you fill out questionnaires before showing up. But God has power over every area of your life if you just decide, yes, I'm going to give him that power. In fact, last week we talked about it. We said that he had power over death, right? He defeated death. In fact, the passage said death had no grip. It couldn't keep a hold of Jesus. And if we say we are followers of Jesus, then death cannot keep its hold over you. In fact, we have a key verse, if it's going to be on the screen there, Romans 8, verse 11. I'd love to say that with you if it can appear anytime. Right, we're not there yet, okay. Save that for later. Romans 8:11. Just listen. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the Spirit living within you. There it is. Now you get to say it with me. Let's try again. 3, 2, 1. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Romans 8:11. That's our key passage. Like, that power is alive in you. You can apply that power to every area of your life if you decide to, or you can kind of leave that power unaccessed. But that Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in all those who believe. And so there's no need for us to feel defeated. There's no need for us to live defeated. Actually, our identity is victorious and death has been conquered. Today we're going to be talking about our past being defeated. And some of you are like, you know, I grew up in the church. I don't have much of a past. Man, it doesn't take long. And last week you have a past. Like, past, you know, when you cut somebody off in public and then gave them that nice gesture, the one-handed, the one-fingered salute, right? You got a past, okay? You may not have been a drug-addicted gangster, okay? But you have a past. All of us have a past. I was a pastor's kid, and we all know those are really well-behaved kids. You know, but I wasn't, and I wasn't like a drug runner or anything like that, but I have a rebellious past. But guess what? It wasn't long ago that I can point to many failures. And if you struggle, I have family members here on the front row who can help, pointing out my faults. I'm sure there's some in your row that can help with yours. The truth is that we don't live in the identity of our past. Jesus defeated death through his resurrection. And death couldn't lay a hand on him. So as we get ready to put to death our past, I need to ask you, I need you to shout out a nickname. Any nickname that you are known by or have been known by, please keep it G-rated. There's children in the room, people watching online. If you're watching online, just type it in the comments. I'll see it later. But in the room, anybody willing to share their G-rated nickname out loud? That's mine, brother. I don't think, just wait for it, okay? That's what happens when you let the slides go too fast, okay? Anyone else?
Monkey.
Monkey? Wow. We're just gonna leave that, okay? Moving on.
Shrimp.
I can see that. I can literally see that. Hey, someone over here.
Tina the Tornado.
Boy, we just got to know you better, right? Look out. Okay, anyone else? One more. Anyone? Scab? All right. We're just gonna keep going. Okay, and then you guys got to see mine. They were looking for slides and they found this one. This is my church nickname, Thunder Squirrel. All right, so this was bestowed upon me by our production team, mostly Ron. The thunder, because I move around a lot and I'm not quiet about it. And the squirrel, what were we talking about? So, man, you guys are hard crowd. Okay. So how many of you, one more question. Humor me. How many of you don't say it? Just raise your hand. How many of you have a nickname that you would prefer never to hear yourself called again? Anyone? Me too. Okay. I noticed none of you were the ones shouting out that name, either because you're too embarrassed or it should not be said in public. Right? Here's the thing, like a lot of these, I mean, you can just kind of, you've seen me move around up here, clunking my feet around. You know, you've seen me lose my track, right? My train of thought. You know exactly what they're talking about when they call me Thunder Squirrel, right? Yeah. And yet you still attend here, and you love me, and at least I think you do. But a lot of us, our nickname is our past, and we allow that to have power over us, and we allow that to keep us from moving into our future. In fact, a lot of us have given our past too much power. Here's some clues that your past may have too much power. Your past may have too much power if your past is a lens through which you see everything. Your past has too much power if it's your reason for not moving forward. Your past may have too much power if it's limiting your self-worth. Your past may have too much power if it's emotionally crippling you. And then one more, it's not on the screen, but I hope you can remember this one. Your past has too much power if it affects your ability to move forward in the direction of God. I'm not gonna trust God because I've seen God's people do this, or I'm still hurting from the last time God didn't intervene the way I wished he would have. In the Bible, names equal identity. And so it's not just the identity, it's about the person, right? Jesus, his name is called Emmanuel, which means, all right, it has meaning, okay? Peter, it's Petros, and it means, anybody know this one? The rock, yeah, the rock. Only Jesus kind of puts a spin of terms on it. He says it twice, which a lot of theologians believe. He's saying, listen, rock, on you, pebble, I'm going to build my church. He's like, you're not as big as you think. And if you've seen The Chosen, Simon, we all want to be Simon Peter. Like, we just want to be like, I want to be the guy that whacks off the ear of the soldier, okay? Or gets into fights regularly, and Jesus is like, come on, don't be an idiot. You know, that's me. That's the guy. And Jesus is saying, hey, you know, you call yourself the rock, I'm going to call you the pebble. And it's not about you, it's actually about me that the church will be built on. All right, and then Paul. You know, we're like, hey, Paul wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. That's a pretty powerful name, right? But it actually means little. A lot of people believe that means because he was short. So see there, shrimp? You're in good company, all right? Next is Moses, and it's from the Hebrew word Moshe, and it means deliverer, all right? And then Adam is, wait for this, this is profound. It means man. And then if Eve is really angry at Adam, she uses like the full Adama, which means dirt. Funny how it's connected to man like that. And then there's, you know what Seth means? Chosen one. I just thought I'd put that in there. It doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. Well, listen, we're going to talk about baptism today. And baptism is a public declaration of putting our past to death. Some of you just tuned out right there because you're like, I already got baptized. I don't need this sermon. Maybe I'll tune into some other church later on and get something else, right, that's more relevant. Here's what I want to tell you. No matter where you're at on your faith journey, if you haven't been baptized, God has something for you to learn that maybe will prepare you to see baptism in a new light and you're ready to go. If you've already been baptized, perhaps you're not living right now in the truth of what that baptism meant, or you misunderstood baptism to the extent that when you were baptized, you didn't get baptized for the right reason. And we'll let God indicate those for you, the Holy Spirit indicate those for you. So today, we're going to talk about the fact that through baptism, we're publicly declaring a death to our past and life to our future with Jesus. So let's talk about death to my past. I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes the nickname that I'd prefer never to be called again, because I'm going to be real with you, okay? That's next point. But right now, I want to talk about those names that we give ourselves and we give others based on past experiences. I'm talking about, like, divorced. I'm talking about depressed. I'm talking about addict, alcoholic. Talking about abused. I'm talking about widow. I'm talking about bitter, terminal, angry, slut, partier, hot-tempered. That didn't get a response in this service. Last service, there were some old ladies who about dropped over dead when I said slut. They were like, and we're like, you don't have to be ashamed. You've been set free from, no, just kidding. I don't think that's why they thought that. They didn't have a eureka moment. They just couldn't believe their pastor said slut in church. But you know what? When I think about things like this, Jesus didn't use, you know, he's not going to mince words. And like you don't use that in your home or haven't had that come across the TV. I want you to think, because we may say that about someone or any of these, right? We may give these names and we're kind of quarantining them in that identity. We're quarantining them in the identity of their past. Like, this is all they have. And it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. We have some great widows in our church that meet in the grieving group, and they're usually meeting while I'm still in my office, and man, they get giggling over there. Like, I'm just telling you, like, it's not, they don't sit around and cry, okay? They are partying over there some days. They're having fun over there some days. They're not allowing the fact that they have had a real tragedy occur in their life to destroy the rest of their life. And man, when we go to other groups and we see people that have come, that are celebrating freedom from addiction, you know, they're moving forward from that. They're becoming better parents, better husbands, better wives. The truth is, we have to decide it's over. This name no longer defines me. So here it is. Here's my name that I'd prefer. I guess it's in this point, not the next one. Sorry. Bruiser. That's my nickname I'd prefer never to be remembered again. But here we are. We're talking about it. It's live on the internet. Bruiser. I'd like to say, like, you know, in the sixth grade, you know, I was a real, you know, tough guy. No, that's not why. I was 2 years old, and I took my sister's face, and I smashed it into a wood piece of furniture and broke her nose. Right? And I guess face smasher is not an appropriate nickname for a two-year-old, so I became Bruiser. My sister loves to remind me of this nickname often. She loves to tell my children why I have that nickname. And it just makes me want to go back to that and smash it. No, just kidding. We love each other very much, but that is annoying, right? And then, I'm joking. I embrace the fact that I bothered my sister. In fact, I still try to, but I'll try to do it without physical damage. the truth is, I carried that nickname because of my past. And I carry it today because of my past. Now, I've been set free from that in Jesus' name, hallelujah. But it's still a little blip on the radar. But it doesn't have to be how I operate or my identity that I operate from. And see, baptism is our public proclamation of taking on a new name, the name of Jesus, of him being our identity. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, go and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And that is in the name of, in the identity of, in all that is true of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so everything that Jesus says about you, everything that's true about you according to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you're being immersed in. That's why we, by the way, that's why we dunk all the way, okay? That's why we go all the way under, because we want to be immersed in all that is true about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all that he says we are. We declare death to our past. In order to do that, though, in order to declare death to our past, we have to declare death to our way. How many of you like to get your way? Just admit it. Raise your hand. Anyone? Nudge someone if they need nudged. You like to get your... I notice how quick you control freaks raised your hands and then put them back down. We saw, okay? And we already knew, a lot of us. I think if we're honest, we all would love to have control, have our way. But deciding to follow Jesus is deciding to follow a different way. Deciding to follow Jesus is admitting that, my way isn't as good as I thought it was. So I'm going to let God be my boss instead of me. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Again, we're still looking at the baptism analogy here, the baptism symbology. Verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, could we say verse 7 together? For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So I was defined by my knuckle-headed way, bruiser. I'm a backyard mechanic, and my van loves to spend quality time with me. I went on sabbatical last year, and I think I spent more time under the van than I did on my kayak fishing. And I replaced the alternator for the second time last year, and for the third time yesterday. And it's always fun. Now it's like, I know exactly how to do this. I just wish I didn't. I'm going to tell you that when I went to this particular local business and asked for a return because of the warranty, lifetime warranty, which really is lifetime, you get to replace it over and over and over again. They weren't really excited to give me a replacement part. I asked, and I was dressed like this. I was more pastor looking. I kind of went in before work, and I'm like, hey, I'm having trouble, it's not charging, etc. And they're like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And they go out there, and they put their machine, well, it might be, change the battery. I'm like, okay, we've already gone through this. And then go to Walmart because they have the battery, right? And then see if they warranty that. And then, so I come back and I'm like, yep, it took three times for them to decide. I went yesterday and I wore different clothes. Just so you know, these are laundered, fresh laundered. I put these bad boys on. And my shirt that looks just like it. And I walked in, this has like 8 ounces of CV axle grease on it and everything else that I've done over the last few years. I put these on and walked in the store and I said, hey, I'm having a little trouble with my alternator. And he goes, well, it looks like you're having a rough day. I didn't even correct him. I didn't even tell him this smells like, fresh, fabric softener. I just let him believe it. And you know what? Zero problem. He's like, here you go. Here's the alternator. You see, often we go through life and we put on pants based on what we want people to think. We change who we are dependent on where we are. And so when we're here at church, well, we want to look the part, right? We want to look like we know what we're talking about, right? And then when we go through life, the rest of our life, we're like, yeah, I still know stuff about the dirty areas of life, right? And we just keep on. We haven't changed our ways. What we're doing is we just kind of change our clothes every day depending on who we want to impress. We have to decide there's a death to, changing in order to fit in, changing who we are on Sunday and who we are every other day of the week. Raise your hand if you're married. Anybody in here married? If you're married and you don't have your hand up, you're not anymore, but okay. So you're married. Hey, when you've heard Johnson & Johnson say having a baby. Very good. Yeah, and those who don't have sleep at night, you know exactly what they're talking about. Having a baby changes everything. Getting married changes everything, right? Amen. You're allowed to say that. It's okay. Getting married changes everything. It better change the apps that are on your phone. You better not be swiping. So I don't know which way you swipe, but that app probably shouldn't be on your phone anymore, right? It better change, like when a hot thing walks by, you better not be making comments or none of that. No, Nope. I mean, you actually have the freedom, excuse me, you have the freedom to do that, okay? Just not as a good idea for your health or your relationship. You see, because you got married, everything else changes. The way you conduct yourself in all the areas of life have been transformed because of this one relationship. And the same is true with our relationship with Jesus. If we're truly committed to him, if we're truly saying, Jesus, God is my boss, then everything else goes through that channel. Should I be doing this? Is this true of who I am in Jesus? We have to put to death our way. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Sorry, I didn't read that. Did I read that? I already read that. Moving on. I want to read verses 12 and 13. How about that? Did I lose you back there in the back room? Verse 12 and 13. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you are dead. You were dead, but now you have new life. Give yourselves completely to God. Surrender yourselves completely to God. Make God your boss, and all these other little things are going to really fit nicely into your life. We have to put to death our way. We've got to stop putting on dirty clothes to fit in. We've got to stop pretending we're something around these people and we're something around these people. Just be the something that God called you and created you to be. By the way, we don't need to just put on pretty clothes and pretend. Just be who God created you to be. Point number 3, death to my disconnection. This one I need to explain. Because when we try to do things our own way, we're not only isolating ourselves from others, we're isolating ourselves from God himself. The beauty of following Jesus is that we never have to go through life alone again. We can be set free from being isolated and alone through any future challenge. Death to my disconnection. Here's why. Romans 6, verse 8. It'll be on the screen, I hope. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. That's our life now. We are living with Jesus. He's doing life along with us. And so we're no longer disconnected and alone. We have Jesus to walk through life with us. And in fact, you are the body of Christ, church. You're the body, the physical manifestation of Christ to this community, not just this community here inside this building and, you know, this faith community, but this community, this local and global community. You are the body of Christ. And so once we embrace who Christ says we are and we decide, hey, I'm gonna completely immerse myself in all that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit say that I am, we are gonna have impact because we are living with him. Baptism is symbolic of our union with Christ, or our communion, or our relationship with Christ. In fact, when I was explaining this to a little boy earlier today, he's getting baptized next week, and he's excited. You guys are gonna have fun. He's a character. And he says, I know you're gonna put me under the water. And so we're talking about what that means. And what it means is when we put the person under the water, right, it's symbolizing Christ's death, his burial. And then we raise him up, Lord willing, it's symbolizing his spiritual resurrection and to walk in newness of life. Like, that's what it means to be baptized. That's what it means to follow Jesus and be baptized. Now, if you've ever read about baptism in the Bible, it's never far separated from deciding to follow Jesus. They decided to follow Jesus. They believed, it says. They believed and were baptized. They believed and were baptized. They believed and they're baptized. Nowadays, it's a little different. They believed and then they waited for Seth to schedule a baptism, right? But then they got baptized. Like, that's not just the the speed at which baptism happens. That's the order at which baptism happens. We believe, and then we are baptized. When I'm not going to say anything negative about other belief systems, but other than the fact that baby baptism, pre-believing baptism, is not found in the Bible. That's all I can say about it. So we believe the baptism that we read about, especially in Romans chapter 6 and all through Acts, they believed and were baptized sequentially in that order. Because there's no point, and this has no meaning to somebody who hasn't decided, God is my boss. And we'll leave that there. Babies are saved because of their innocence. They're safe from hell's fire because of their innocence, but they've not made a decision to follow Christ. So I think it's very valuable when a child, especially as they get older, they often get baptized in elementary, but once they go to camp or something and they begin to make the faith decision for themselves, and when they make that baptism decision at that point, at whatever point they decide, hey, this isn't just my parents' faith, this is my faith, it's a big deal. It changes everything. They're no longer disconnected. They're connecting to the story of God. And whatever age you are, you can connect to the same story and get into the power that's yours, that death-defeating power. You know, the devil wants to tell you, apart from Jesus, he wants to kind of make you think that you're still that disconnected identity. You're still divorced. And you may be, that may still be a factor, but that is not everything about who you are. You're still an addict. And that may be a factor, like you're still struggling, but that's not your value. That's not everything that defines you. The devil wants to say, yeah, you still suck. You're still horrible. Nobody loves you. God doesn't love you. Nobody else will love you because you're a horrible person. Or you can't trust that God is going to do what he says. So you're going to freak out at 2 a.m. And so the devil gets us to believe our 2 a.m. anxiety over the Holy Spirit living within us that's defeated death. You get to decide, which am I going to listen to? Here's what the Bible says is true about you. It says you're a child of God, John 1:1-2. John 1:12. It says we're friends of Jesus, John 15:15. It says we're not condemned, Romans 8:1. It says we're joined to the Lord and one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says we're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says we've become the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I can give you this list if you want. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his handiwork, created in advance to do good works. That's who God says you are. That's your true identity. Don't believe anything any other voice is saying about you. Put to death your past. Put to death Bruiser, okay? Bruiser needs to die. Whatever it is in your life, addict needs to die. Divorcee, that doesn't define your value. Whatever it is, let that go. Death has been defeated. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we embrace who we are in you, that our past would be put to death, that we would no longer be defined by that. But Father, that we would stop trying to put on different clothes in order to please different people, and that our focus would shift from trying to please everyone to simply pleasing you. May you be our boss. And Father, may we stop living disconnected, disjointed, misled lives apart from you. May we live in the reality of all that you say we are. At your seat, I want to talk to those who've already put their faith in Jesus. And this should already be true of you, but perhaps you're not living in that reality. With your head bowed, would you just confess that to God? God, I'm not living in the reality of who you say that I am. I'm allowing anxiety and my past and all these things to get in the way. Forgive me. Just take a moment in your own words. And then if you're here and you're not a believer yet, you know, now's the time. You can put your faith in Jesus. You can put into action that death-defeating power into every area of your life. So I want to lead you to the possibility that Jesus is your answer. You've been looking in all sorts of places. You may be thinking, hey, I'm here at church, but you know, God doesn't love me because of all the things I've done. God loves you. God loves all the sinners in this room. He loves all the sinners, the prostitutes, the addicts, all of them on the outside and inside. He loves the sinner that's holding the microphone right now. He loves everybody, no matter where they come from. So right now at your seat, would you have the guts to put your faith in Jesus? To let him pay for your sins? If so, I want us to repeat this prayer. We'll repeat it with you in order to help you feel comfortable. We'll repeat it out loud. I want to invite you to say a prayer of giving your life to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. I believe that you've rescued me. I commit to making you my boss. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, I want to know about it so that I can help you grow. If you prayed that for a millionth time and you're still waiting to like grow into that reality, we want to help you as well. We have life groups that may be a great connection for you to grow your faith. We have people that you can talk to and connect with and mentor you in your faith. We don't want you to just grow to a certain point so we can get you to come to church on Sunday. We want you to grow closer and closer to the God of the universe, right, that brings all of us together. Thank you, guys. Death to your past.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.